Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined by our almost always regular contributors, Joe Nocera of the New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. It's no surprise that Wall Street is a big player when it comes to political donations. The securities industry pours tens of millions of dollars into campaign coffers each election cycle. Now, back in 2008, the big banks like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase threw their support to Senator Barack Obama, the first time Wall Street went that heavily for a Democrat. Well, we've been digging into the numbers, and this time President Obama isn't faring nearly so well. Mitt Romney and the conservative super PACs are getting most of the cash. In fact, more than three-quarters of Wall Street donations have gone to the GOP, with individuals of the new supersized super PACs all lining up in the Republican column. Goldman Sachs is typical. Back in 2008, the bank sent three out of every four of its campaign dollars to Democrats. This time, three out of every $4 are going to Mitt Romney and his supporters. Joe Nocera, 4 years ago, Obama was Wall Street's favorite. What did they think they saw, and why have they shifted so dramatically?
Well, they thought they saw someone who understood them, someone who was sophisticated about their business, and somebody who was kind of on their side. Don't forget, during the financial crisis, it was John McCain, his opponent, who panicked. And it was Barack Obama who stayed cool and calm and actually helped bring the Black Caucus around to vote for the bailout package. In the subsequent 4 years, Wall Street has come to believe that they're being demonized by the president and the administration. They feel like he has pounded on them and in a way that they feel is very unfair. And as a result, they're pretty much willing to throw their money at anybody except Obama.
Well, let me raise this question, that if Obamaphobia is driving a lot of this money to the Romney-Ryan ticket, is there something about Mitt Romney, either as a person or his philosophy, that is actually a positive that securities firms are likely to admire?
Well, no question. First of all, he is a private equity guy. That's his world, and that's where a lot of these Wall Street people come from. You know, let's not forget his taxes, his own personal taxes rate is in the 13% range, which is more or less where they want to be. And so I think they're happy about that. And third, you know, Romney has vowed to try and overturn the regulatory structure that was created by the Democrats. And, you know, a lot of these guys basically feel that they are being overregulated and it needs to stop. That's how they feel. What business really wants ultimately, and Wall Street too, is consistency. And one of the big problems these last couple of years is it's been very hard to know where the government is going and what it's trying to do because it's been so polarized. You know, Wall Street needs to plan ahead. Business needs to plan ahead, and they don't feel they've been able to do that. So, you know, they would like what everybody would like, which is in the short term, they would like government to help fuel growth. And in the long term, they would like government to deal with the deficit and the debt, two things that really aren't happening right now.
Rana, put a button on this for us. If money talks, what is Wall Street saying this election?
Well, I think the first thing they're saying, and that the bankers in particular are saying, is please don't re-regulate us. And it's true that the Obama administration has become more aggressive about this. Gary Gensler, who's a Democrat, who's the head of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, is the toughest cop right now. He's going after banks over the LIBOR scandal, and it's very likely that if Obama were to win, that he would get another regulatory position in the new administration. So I think that they are worried about that. But I think it's also interesting. Banks, as Joe says, want certainty. And I noticed that Paul Singer, who's a hedge fund billionaire, who's a very important Republican donor, is saying, you know what? We do need banking regulation. We don't like Dodd-Frank. He and others think that that's just Swiss cheese and it's going to cause a lot of problems. But we do need stronger banking regulation because we have to build back up a sense of security in our financial system.
Well, for those of you who are curious about where this money is coming from, WNYC has put together a map of donors in New York City who have given $30,000 or more in support of President Obama or Mitt Romney. And you can see that at WNYC.org. Now, as we do every week, we're going to look ahead to next week with Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine and Joe Nocera of the New York Times. Rana, what's got your attention?
Well, there's a lot of new housing data coming out next week. New numbers for residential sales are coming out, new price indexes. So we're going to get a good sense now of whether this housing recovery that we've seen for the last few months is moving ahead. And I think that what we're going to see is that we are still in recovery, that slowly but surely housing is coming back. I would put the emphasis on slowly, though, and that may mean that the federal government won't get into the business of principal reduction. There's been talk of the federal government helping households across the country get out from under underwater loans, and there's a lot of people that support that because they say that that could really jumpstart the housing market and help to move us to a stronger recovery.
Joe, what are the entrails you've been reading tell you?
Well, I don't need entrails for this. Next week, Russia joins the World Trade Organization. That's kind of a big deal. It means that Russia will have to lower its tariffs, change its tariffs, lower the barriers to trade, do all the things that members do when they join the world of free trade, or freer trade, I should say. Alas, there is only one country that will not be ready to trade with Russia on those same terms, and that's the United States. Why? Because the United States needed to repeal a law that had been passed years ago having to do with the emigration of Russian Jews tied to trade. That had to go away. Why did it not happen? Well, we have political gridlock, and we had a recess. But everybody knows it has to get done. The law will be repealed. The United States will be able to trade freely with Russia, and all will be well with the world.
Well, in case anyone's curious, on my agenda next week is Tampa, and the week after that, Charlotte. I'll be going down to the conventions. And with this segment in mind, I'm going to be paying special attention to how these two parties deal with their respective problems in the business community. Are the Democrats going to say anything, whether it's in a speech or in their platform, that's going to make Wall Street a little less wary about where the Democratic Party and the president stands? And I'm also curious to see whether the Republicans in any way are going to embrace a kind of suspicion or wariness about the top 1%, whether they're going to talk, as some of them have, of crony capitalism and the need to make the playing field, even on conservative terms, a little fairer. Here, we'll be watching, in fact, all the financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available at no cost whatsoever on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.